My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. And this time, it was Rahul's turn to pick, and he picked Season of the Witch from 2011. Now, Rahul, what drew you to this film?
I normally remember where my movies come from, and I don't remember where this came from.
Let's be honest, you Googled Nick Cage movies.
Yeah, no, that was it. I was Googling like Nick Cage naked pictures, and this came up. So
why did this come up as Nick Cage? He doesn't shoot hang dog in this movie.
Yeah, there's well, no nudity whatsoever, unless you count a demon.
Maybe it was a cutscene?
Nick Cage is like, I'll do the movie, but only if you let me hang dong. And then he made the mistake of not asking for final cut, so they cut the dong scene out. And
it's in the DVD.
Yeah.
If you get the Blu-ray with all the extra features, you get to see Nick Cage's naked penis.
They're like, it's one of those unrated cuts, but unlike most unrated cuts where it's bullshit to make you think there's going to be nudity and there's not, this one, you see it all. You see it all.
Yeah, Nick Cage delivers.
Yeah, this movie, in a big way.
I'm not spoiling anything, but I was just Googling to get some timeline straight. This movie has a 4.1 out of 5 on Google reviews. That seems...
What?
One, yeah.
Well, how many reviews is it?
97.
Okay, that's more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like
that's a
well, okay, review. But there's probably still like a selection bias on there.
Yeah. Right? Like, for instance, I didn't know you reviews. Could... Apparently it's on... I didn't know you could... rate movies on Google.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That's part of it.
Oh,
it doesn't have a good
those. Is that what you're saying, Lawrence?
I'm pretty sure it doesn't have that good of an IMDb score, and it doesn't have that good of a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah, 5.4 on IMDb, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 2 out of 5 from Common Sense Media. So yeah,
I think 11%. 2 out of 5 is legit. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
11% is like pretty bad.
Well, one of those things is like if a bunch of people give something a pretty like bad but like a C, you know, C plus,
like barely
C minus.
Failing.
Yeah. Which I mean, this is a C plus C minus. I guess let's go around and would you recommend this? Because we're kind of I'll go first, which is this is hard for me because there are two like other things that tell the story a lot better that I've consumed before I saw this. So I spent all of it like thinking about those things instead. Those things being the Christopher Bulman novel Between Two Fires from 2012, which is legitimately incredible, and then Black Death from 2010, which is a like folk horror movie set in the medieval period that's also very good, although I think that like Between Two Fires is legit one of the best horror novels of the 2010s, and Black Death is just a fun cult movie. But still, the fact that both of those like came out does not do this any favors. But I think even aside from that, I would just... This isn't a good movie. It kind of sucks. It seems very confused about what it's trying to say. Nick Cage is kind of sleepy through most of it, which is a shame because I think if he'd gone over the top, that might have been enough to like save this. And the only really good parts are a very weird Christopher Lee cameo and also Ron Perlman, who doesn't seem medieval at all, but is having fun wisecracking a bunch. So, you know, anyways, Ronald, what do you think?
Yeah, this movie was boring. It's not incompetent. That's the weird part about this movie. It's like pretty competently made, and it's really hard to tell where along the film process they were like, it feels like maybe there was a good idea in here somewhere, but they like cut out all the good parts. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend it. It wasn't very good. It was pretty boring. It wasn't crazy enough to be fun. It didn't have like a heart of a good enough movie to be interesting. It was just kind of like you knew what was going to happen right from the beginning, and there was twists, but you didn't ever care.
This movie has a twist that's like legitimately like until after the twist happens, I'm like, wait, that was even an option for that to like be a thing that could have happened in this?
Yeah.
Like I didn't know that the world of the movie was set up so that there were both witches and demons, and possessed versus witch was a meaningful distinction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and even like at the beginning, it kind of seems like that's the same thing. And then when it happens, you're like, okay, I didn't like that. That's not a big enough change for what's going on here for me to care about it. But the movie pretended like it was, and, you know, whatever.
It's like if you thought someone was a ghost and then it turned out they were a vampire and you're like, wait, vampires exist? And also, that doesn't seem to change anything because you're still an evil supernatural creature.
Yeah. And the powers are the same.
Yeah. So.
Also, like, it felt kind of like a flimsy excuse to be like, Claire Foy is hot and you don't have to feel bad for being attracted to her because she's not the bad guy.
Yeah. Now, Rahul, you're the one who picked this. Do you regret it?
Do I regret picking it? No, I don't think so. I think that I would not recommend this movie for watching, but I will say that I was, if you want to watch a movie that has a twist that's confusing, I don't know why, but I just felt so confused by this twist that it was almost impressive. It was confusing on two levels. Like, one, I really didn't, even though the movie took great pains to demonstrate how witchy she was, I didn't believe it, because I don't know why I didn't believe
it. Because it doesn't make any sense for her to just be a witch, because the whole movie is everyone doubting shit, and her just being a witch and then being ludicrous. Like, you're wrong to doubt the Catholic Church is such, it's a twist that you can have in an exorcism movie, and that's about it. It feels incredibly out of place everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like this movie did a really good job of misleading me, and I don't know if it was on purpose. So for that reason, I give it a soft to recommend, just because.
It did a good job of misleading you by not letting you know that the thing that happened was an option.
I mean, that's true in a technical sense.
Like, at the very beginning, I don't know why I just kept doubting it, even though the movie clearly established witches. In the very beginning, like, there's that monk who, like, hangs the witches, and they're like, oh yeah, they're not witches, right? And then, you know, they're fucking,
I think,
witches.
You can make a reasonable, like, case. Now, this movie might take place in a world where witches aren't real, but demonic possession is. So all the witches they kill are innocent, except doesn't that one witch lady have some black smoke come out of her?
I think that there is an argument to be made here that they hung three people. One was innocent, one was an actual witch, and one was possessed by the demon.
Which...
The one that got away.
The one that got away was the demon, we saw the face change. Like, that was clearly the demon.
Yeah, and also the demon later says that she's been trying to destroy, like, copies of the book. That priest had a copy of the book. She destroyed it, you know, classic demon MO.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, the other woman seemed to respond to the words that he had and, like, spit up something nasty. So I guess she was a witch. I don't fucking know. She also had a weird eye.
No, wasn't the weird eye lady
go to hell or something?
Wasn't the weird eye lady the one who later turned out to be possessed? Or
no, it was the third lady.
She got lowered by the book.
The weird eye lady was the one who spit up the nastiness.
So this movie basically is like, kind of, witch hunts were real, but they didn't have a high enough success rate to, like, be justified. Maybe, although, I mean, a third, two thirds of the people you kill being like malefic, like supernatural entities, is actually a really high success rate. Especially, I mean, seeing how much these guys can fuck shit up, it's kind of like, maybe the Catholic Church was right to do that. Also,
I find these movies, this kind of movies, distasteful, because it's like, you know, oh, the witch hunts were these horrible things, but actually they were real witches, so maybe they were justified. It's like, no, dude, they weren't real witches. Like, stop, like, fucking whitewashing what happened by being like, well, you know, maybe they really had a point. It's like, no, they did not have a point. Like, they were the evil ones.
It's like a fun revision that is not fun.
Unless you're going to completely commit to the bit. If you completely commit to the bit of, like, everything the medieval Catholics thought was true, you could make a very good horror movie in the same way that The Exorcist is scary, because basically it's just like, what if Catholicism was real, dude? How terrifying, you know?
Yeah. But this movie was kind of weird, though, because I felt like it was, like, trying to be like, oh, this was really bad, but also the witches were real. And it's like, well, I don't, what's your message here?
Yeah. It's like the Crusades it was bad, and the Catholic Church is corrupt, but also the one bishop we meet is actually on the level, and most of the witch hunts, like, by the end of the movie, it's 3 out of 4 accused witches had something wrong with them. So, you know.
So, yeah.
It's a passing grade on witch hunting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that rounds to a A+, pretty much.
Anyways, I guess let's get to the summary. We kind of talked a lot about it, but I'm going to bow out on this one because I fell asleep during the movie a fair amount, and I rewatched it while I was working, but I was also working diligently.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You know, there's
you're a hard worker.
Yeah, I'm an excellent employee. So, Rahul, even or odds?
I'll do it.
Okay. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Or do you want three?
Yeah. Okay. I don't care. Whatever. If I'm on a roll, don't stop me. But if I'm not, bail me out.
You know, if you were on a roll, I don't think any force on earth could stop
you. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been on a roll with a plot summary. But
yeah. Anyways, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. So the movie opens with a monk, and they're killing three innocent, well, what you think are, what you presume are innocent women. Some of them turn out to be witches. He's like, blah, 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 we gotta read from this boring book to dispel their witchiness, and one of them escapes. Doesn't matter. Anyway, flash forward to, or back, to Cage and Pearlman being super crusaders. They're slaughtering their way through city after city, and then they slaughter their way through a city of young women or nuns or something. So they renounce the church. There's a little tiff with a dude. This dude A turns out to be important later. And then, so they've abandoned the church and they're just romping around. They're romping across the countryside, and they go to this town and they get recognized by church people, and they get pulled in for questioning because you're not supposed to turn your back on the church. And turns out there's a plague that's infected everything. And they get taken up to the highest church level person there, and he's like, I need you to do this thing, and I need you to take this witch to this place so they can do a thing and undo the plague. And there's a little back and forth, and they're like, all right, we'll do it as long as she gets a fair trial. So they assemble a little team, and they go on this journey, and half of them die, and during the whole time, the woman turned out to be a super witch, and you're like, what? She's a witch? And it's very confusing. She's in a cage. Anyway, they get there, and all the dudes are dead from the plague. Woman gets out and turns out to be possessed by a demon, not actually a witch. One of the dudes there starts reading from the book, and they have this glorious battle. And demon lady is like, I've been searching for the book, and that's why I pretended to be a witch, so that's why I got caught, so I could be dragged to this location that I guess was a secret. So it turns out that this woman was actually impersonating the church official who had them do the atrocity from the beginning. Anyway, so they both do combat, and die gloriously, and the demon is banished. And the woman and one of the party are the last people standing. In the very end, Cage is like, take care of her. And I'm like, did you care about what? And that's the end.
Was that thing where it turned out the demon was ordering the massacre real? I totally missed that.
Yeah, because she demonstrated that she could do his voice.
But so I thought that was just her making fun of him.
No, because at the beginning, Cage is like, you're hearing somebody's voice, like implying that he was hearing the devil, not God. You remember that? He was all
offended. Yeah, I do remember that, but I mean, I don't know. It's like a pretty heavy-handed message either way.
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess let's get into some high points, which I'll start with. So the scene where they apparently go throughout fighting in the Smyrniote Crusade, I think. I Googled one of the battles, but I'm not sure it up. And then they get to the final siege, and Nick Cage stabs one woman, and then he's like, oh shit, war is wrong. It's very funny.
He's cute. And then, like, at the start, they're like, I'll kill the 300 on the left if you kill the 300 on the right. And it's like, so you're cool with just, like, absolutely massacring the fuck out of these guys, even though they're just defending themselves.
But the answer is yes.
When it comes to a single woman, you're like, wow, I fucked up.
Oh my God.
And also, no way in fuck that was the first, like, civilian they killed in this fucking crusade.
Oh no, but they were men, bro.
That might be the first one that Nick Cage personally stabbed, but I mean, it's the crusades. Those shits were brutal, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyone else got a high point?
Oh God, this movie is not full of high points, to be honest.
Maybe the wolves? I didn't really
the wolves?
I didn't really like the wolf scene myself that much.
Yeah, but it's still a high point.
I was trying to think of like
trying to think of anything. I mean, Christopher Lee, he looked pretty good in this. He had like a pretty cool face prosthetic thing going on.
Yeah, it makes him look like a fucking monster, man. And then, when I saw that, I'm briefly like, this movie could be pretty good if they just really steered into just putting in dark, weird shit like that. But then he kind of dies
very quickly. I have a question. What was up with the plague?
Apparently,
the demon was releasing it.
Yeah, in the cosmology of this world, the Black Death was caused by the fucking demon.
Well, was it the Black Plague, though?
I think so, yeah. They're talking about a 3-in-4 death rate. There weren't too many of those going around.
Yeah. But
I mean, I don't know if the timeline...
the Black Plague really looked like that.
It gives you buboes. Let me see.
This is a super plague.
Yeah.
Why did the demon just sit back and just, like, why do you even care about... Like, he should have just sat back and kept his AoE going, you know? Like, he didn't need to...
Yeah. One, it's like, oh, I'm afraid of the book, but it's like, you could have broken out at any moment. So why are you afraid of it?
I gotta say this. I don't like saying that. This movie is actually very slightly smarter than I thought it was, because the Smyrniote Crusades were 1343 to 1351, and then the Black Death was 1346 to 1353. So the timeline on this does more or less work.
Wow.
Which I'm astonished by, honestly.
Wait, the Crusades were only...
This is a specific crusade.
Okay.
Against the Emirate of Aydin. And trying to capture the city of Smyrna, which is kind of why it's called the Smyrniote Crusade. Anyways.
And presumably they were successful?
I think so.
Well, anyways,
occupied the city but failed to secure it. And then, yeah.
How's a crusade successful? They killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. You know? At the best case, they set up like a kingdom that lasted for about 100 years, you know?
Yeah. Maybe they did probably succeed in spreading Christianity.
I mean, if you accept that if you kill someone in the crusade, they became a Christian, then yeah. They spread Christianity pretty well.
I don't necessarily know that much about the Black Plague, but I don't think they had these giant fucking disgusting giant fucking welts and goiters and stuff from the Black Plague.
Makes you grow these things called buboes that actually,
Those are like your lymph nodes, right?
Yeah, they're swollen lymph nodes. I mean, I can show you a picture. It does, obviously they were playing it up some for the movie, but it can end up looking pretty fucking gnarly.
All right. I mean, I guess maybe it was just some film,
Dramatic license,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same ballpark, but they multiplied it by about, like, 20, I'd say. Also, obviously, it doesn't make you look like a goddamn zombie like that one lady did.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of assumed it was like, oh, you know, Black Plague, plagues are just a thing now. but I guess the plague was caused by the single demon?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Although, I kind of wonder why... the plague apparently lasted for like a couple of years after they banished it.
Did she form it up in a lab, or was it like magic and it was only in the areas she's around? Like, whatever. Who cares? Right? It doesn't matter. But it's just like, oh, the evil comes from a demon and not from like the evil acts that we've committed and we were party to.
Or legitimately just, hey, there's a disease, you know?
Yeah, right. There's a disease that's spreading around, and I don't know, whatever. Fucking this movie, that's what I don't get about a lot of this movie. Is like, what are you trying to say here? Like, they try to like do partly like, oh, the Christianity was misguided, but also there was a demon that was causing all the problems on Earth, and they got rid of it, I guess. So
yeah, although they do banish it. They banish it by reading from the Book of Solomon, which is like it's not a book of the Bible. It's like actual magic. So that also further confuses things. Although I don't know if the movie is smart enough to know that that's what it's saying. It might just think the Book of Solomon is a book in the Bible.
Yeah, I think that was the implication that I got, because like the only people that had it were priests. And the only things that it seemed to have in the movie were ways of like making sure that witches didn't come back to life expelling demons. So whatever. All right. I'm already talking low points here.
I liked Perlman's character. I thought he had a good attitude. He's like irreverent. Didn't really give a shit. That was great. Thought the whole movie should have been like that.
Yeah, it should have just been Ron Perlman like whoring around Europe. And here's the twist. We show it.
We show it.
Full penetration.
I would love that attitude.
That movie exists. It's called Hellboy.
Hellboy?
Yeah. Much better movie than this one.
It doesn't have full penetration.
It seems a little bit different.
No, it doesn't have a full penetration part, but it does have irreverent Ron Perlman existing amongst, I guess, Christians.
That movie is weird. The Hellboy cosmology is even more confused because it appears that God exists, but so do like a bunch of Lovecraft monsters, and it doesn't seem to really want to pick a side. It's just like, there's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm okay with that.
That's all I want. Yeah. I just want, you know, a dude with a big fucking stone arm wandering around.
I'm a simple man. I want a red guy who's a prince of hell and punches people and is fireproof. Yeah. Is and he says wisecracks. And then there's only three movies that fulfill my desire.
And they all have the same name. And also one of them sucks, apparently. I've never seen it. And also he uses the stone arm against swords.
Well, that's stone, cool, dude. Stone beats sword.
Stone beats sword.
I mean, Hellstone, at least, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Can we just move on to Hellboy now? I'm more excited to talk about that. I haven't even seen it in like 10 years.
Hellboy was fun, man. That was legitimately fun.
Yeah, especially the sequel where they worked out some of the like kinks.
Yeah, and the Golden Army? That movie fucking rules.
There's that one scene where it's just the elf like fighting all those like weird big dudes and he's like swinging around, and I always thought that they should have played the Anel and the Throck song When Humanity is Cancer, because it's got this sort of drone.
Thank God they didn't.
It's like that
elf guy and he's just like swinging around his thing and like fighting all those big guys, and like it kind of awakens something in Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, something that he wasn't sure that he wanted, but now he knew needed.
Yeah, and he desperately tries to tamp the feeling down, but it just wells up.
Yeah, and sometimes late at night I'll go out and find a prostitute, preferably male, and I'll pay them to put on ears and just swing a sword around while I watch. They're like, you know, this is actually kind of a welcome change of pace from what I normally do.
You're paying a lot for this.
Yeah,
and $30.
Like,
I don't even know why you hired a prostitute for this. This isn't illegal. You probably could have just hired an actor.
Yeah, they get weirded out when you jerk it, though. So,
well, I don't jerk it. I just watch it, and then I remember it for later jerking.
Oh, okay.
Call it the spank bank.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of an elf word that rhymed with bank, but I didn't got it.
Yeah, you know. Moving back to the fucking movie that we did watch, I can't think of a lot of high points, but it's hard to think of low points either. Like, I didn't really find anything in this like that cringeworthy or like embarrassing or like poorly done. It was just like, after I was done with the movie, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, pretty much what I expected from the very beginning.
I mean,
that's the low point for me.
The sword fights kind of fucking suck.
Sword fights do suck, but not in like a really horrible, badly done way. Just like cut up to shit. Yeah. Probably kind of indicative of the time. Like everything pat for like 10 years after the Bourne Identity, nobody knew how to fucking cut action scenes anymore. Because Paul Greengrass did a really cool quick cut action scenes with like shaky cam. I think in the Bourne Identity, it's actually done correctly. But then, like, every American action movie for, like, 10 years after that fucks it up badly. Like, they decide to, like, use that as, like, kind of a crutch. And
yeah, it stops you from having to actually, like, choreograph the full fight because you're going to just cut a bunch anyways. So you can just do individual moves.
And that's clearly what's happening here. Like, they just cut it to shit. You can barely tell what's happening. Like, I feel like they don't follow the rules of cinematography. So you never really know where you are as the viewer. Yeah, the action scenes in this are just shit. really just poorly done. But also, like, you know, not really that much worse than the era. So it's kind of hard to, like, knock them too hard because this is, like, how all action movies were around then. Like, Seventh Son was kind of probably similar.
Yeah, although Seventh Son, at least, I think the action there was a little bit less choppy because I remember thinking occasionally something cool would happen.
Yeah, also, that's true.
That one was just, like, more overtly supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah, the Seventh Son had a little bit more style to it, too.
And it also had Jeff Bridges just doing an insane fucking accent. Which, this movie could have had Nick Cage doing a crazy fucking accent if Nick Cage had cared. But instead, for the accent, they're just like, well, I think you guys are French or something. I don't know. But how about you just kind of speak English and y'all speak with American accents, even though most of you are British actors. And everyone's just like, okay, cool. But Nick Cage would very occasionally pronounce a word weird. That was his
I don't know if that was just Nick Cage, though.
He seemed pretty checked out in this, honestly.
But Perlman didn't have an accent either, did he?
No, not at all. He's just a normal Ron Perlman voice.
He was just Hellboy.
The only one who had kind of an accent was fucking Al Capone. And he had basically the same accent as he did in Boardwalk Empire, so...
Yep. But, I guess
my I have a high point.
It hit me.
Okay, well, Cage and Perlman both die in the end. I was like, good. Wrap this shit up. It's done. This shit is done.
That's true.
Is your low point that, like, two of the main characters survived?
Well, they didn't survive.
Okay, I have a low point. There was a really weird part at the end where, like, after Claire Foy got... This is tagging on to Rahul's... Because this is like right after, right when Nick Cage and Ron Perlman die. Claire Foy got like the demon expelled from her, but for some reason it made her naked, right?
Yeah, the demon was making her, was putting clothes on her as a reminder of her original sin.
Yeah, so okay, fine. But like they show her, but I guess they didn't want to show any nudity because the scene of her is like her belly down on the ground, but like her head just sticking straight up so she can look at Nick Cage. And it's like,
and so you don't see her butt.
Yeah. And it's like, this is like the most awkward fucking way to do this. Just give her clothes back if you don't want to show anything. Like, what the fuck? What? I don't think anyone's going to be sitting around being like, how did she get the clothes back on? Excuse me?
I mean, I didn't even notice that.
Or have Nick Cage hand her a blanket. You know, if you want to go see.
I mean, come on. Or the kid or whatever, hand her a blanket.
Yeah.
Like, don't make her in that weird-ass pose. Like, what even the fuck was that?
Or have her be nude. She's Claire Foy. She's British. You know she'll do it. Yeah. She's done it in other movies. You can look it up on Mr. Skin. I forget what it's called.
Lawrence hasn't memorized them, and he's pretending not to know what they are.
Look, I'm not like, you know, I don't have anything against the nudity. That would have been fine. Claire Foy is very attractive. But if they didn't want to show her, don't make it like this weird half-assed, like, she's nude, but we're not going to show anything. Well,
that's kind of the entire movie is like sort of weird and half-assed, right?
Yeah.
Like even Cage, like Cage's character.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like she's like, yeah, I can tell you're so kind. I'm like, what the?
He tried to kill you with a crossbow. Like,
in retrospect, I'm like, okay, maybe there'll be some moment where he earns that, and it never happened. And then at the very end, he's like, take care of her. I'm like, what?
But he feels guilty about killing that one person. It's like, dude, you know how many people you killed? Yeah. They did not deserve it, and you know they didn't.
At one point, the demon even points out, like, hey, you have any idea how many people you killed? You really think saving this one girl's going to do fuck? And I guess he thought yes, because he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's better, I guess, to save one person than to not save one person, but don't pretend like you're some good person.
Yeah. Although, I guess he did die saving everyone from the Black Death, which is cool.
Yeah, I guess that's something.
Yeah, he kind of did.
I guess my...
He's defending himself. Don't give me too much credit.
Ronald has become so cynical. Yeah. Can't even save the world without him being like, eh, I don't know.
Ronald's one of those guys who's like, doctors aren't heroes because they get paid. Just a job, man. I don't care. I'm
When Bruce Willis sacrifices himself to blow up an asteroid, he's like, he wanted to do that. Because
he was only doing that so that his family could... Yeah, no. So his family could sell his biography rights and make a fortune.
He did it for the gram. Dude, that would have been so funny if he'd posted a selfie right before he blew himself to fucking
kingdom. That'd be amazing.
Ronald's like, Jesus was only doing that to impress his dad. It doesn't count.
Wow. You know what? You guys are ribbing me here, but those do all sound like things I would say.
We know.
So. Yeah, it's pretty not easy wrong. To extrapolate.
Not wrong. Say.
Let's see. I guess my sort of high point is that until the wolves actually show up, that scene where they're in the forest and they're just hearing like a ton of wolves, and it's obvious that like something very weird is happening. Pretty spooky. I spend a lot of time in the woods hearing coyotes howl and not being able to see them, and it's uncanny. Then the wolves actually show up, and they're like kind of shitty CGI who grow monster faces at the end, and that sucked. But up until the wolves showed up, that wolf seed was very scary.
Why did they grow the monster faces?
I guess they were just fucking with that one dude before they ate him to be like, yeah, you really should have tried to kill that witch harder, dude.
Were they werewolves?
No, I don't think so. They were werewolves.
What was that about? Why did their faces change?
They were werewolves, but their two forms were wolf and monster wolf.
Yeah, but they didn't like get any bigger or anything. Their faces just kind of shifted a bit. So I was like, what the fuck was that?
Maybe the face shifts when it's a demonic possession and she mass possessed him.
She mass possesses the wolves?
Maybe. What else? I got nothing else.
Can the demons possess more than one thing at a time? Isn't that like the whole point of...
I don't think we're ever going to be able to get an answer to this based on the text of the movie. And honestly, the answer is probably just someone thought it looked cool.
It didn't.
Yeah. You know?
They really fucked that because that didn't look good at all.
I don't even know.
You didn't have to do it, so.
Yeah.
Once they reveal that it was a demon, like, you're left wondering why she even did that.
Yeah, because the demon has wings. And appears to know a fair amount, so it doesn't seem to make sense that it needs them to take. I guess maybe it didn't know what the book was.
Even if it did, even if it was a super church secret, and she didn't know, and this was the only way, why is she putting roadblocks in the form of?
I think they explained it at some point that like she killed the members of the party that were trying to get them to not go to the destination.
But it seems like all the supernatural stuff should have just been to make it really easy to get to the destination. So everyone's like, yeah, let's just keep going. This is so easy.
Yeah. And also, like, I said this before in the group chat, but like, it would have been way easier to just ask for directions than do all this stupid shit to get captured and then like gaslight everyone in the fucking party to take you to the place where you need to go.
Yeah, like monks have to eat. You could just go around and ask for where the monastery is.
It wasn't a secret. It didn't seem like it was a secret spot. You could just ask.
How do you hide a monastery?
She can fucking fly, and also like it's not like the monks can do shit to her. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyone else got high points, low points, whatever? I feel like I mean I know we've only got 33 minutes, but this is a very mid movie.
I like the part where the monks. I'm trying to remember exactly when this happened, but they're all possessed and they're like dead and possessed, which I guess another demon power. And the way they skitter on the walls, like I think I actually laughed because it looked so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you remember this?
I forgot about
actually
that
come
when
back
they
as zombies, or was it just like air window dressing until the demon came? Like, was there a scene where they were fighting zombies?
I think it was zombies, yeah.
But was there a scene where it was like Nick Cage and the other guys fighting zombies?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because that part all kind of blended together for me, because in addition to falling asleep a lot, also Quint has started doing this thing where he's not unhappy, he's really happy, but he's like shrieking for joy, which makes it pretty hard to watch a movie. And also, the only way to stop him to do that would presumably be to make him unhappy, which I refuse to do. So.
Oh, don't worry, Rahul will take care of it.
By existing.
Rahul just walking up to Quint and trying to teach him to talk so that Rahul can tell him that he's going to die eventually. Can you say mortality, Quint? Can you say oblivion?
Yeah. Quint, I'm going to introduce you to existential dread today.
Anyways, shit. Anything else? Anything at all? Jesus.
I got nothing else to say.
Ron Perlman's helmet in the starting scene is really stupid. It looks like a pot, and then it kind of bows back in, and it makes his head look like a mushroom.
Oh, yeah. That was stupid.
That might be a real, like, realistic, like, helmet, but nothing else in this movie was actually all that realistic. So,
yeah, they should have stuck with Hellboy. You fucked up.
Yeah, just give him some horns and never have anyone comment on it. And a big stone hand.
It's like, you guys are hunting a demon, but isn't that guy a demon?
No, that's Ron Perlman. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what was?
Yeah. Hellboy's been having a lot of trouble getting roles since that Hellboy movie from 2017 didn't do good. I bet he would have been happy to be in a movie like this. Boost his career a little. Anyways.
Actually, instead of Hellboy, he could have just been that one guy from Enemy at the Gates that gets domed.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
No. No. But I like watching Russian guys get domed, you know?
Yeah.
Like an oral sex joke, you see?
Oh, ew.
Yeah. Well, you see, you knew he was Russian, so you did know what I was talking about.
No, I just know what Enemy at the Gates is, but I don't know specifically what Ron Perlman does in it. It's about, like, guys having a sniper war in Stalingrad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, one side is Germans and one side is Russians.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dang, who do you root for?
I mean, yeah. The Russians, because Russians, they're not Nazis.
Right. And also the main characters are Russian.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think you see Rachel Weisz's boobs at one point.
And it's Jude Law.
Yeah. Jude so obviously Law. You're rooting for that Law. Guy because, you know, if he does good, he'll get to go with Rachel Weisz again and she might show her boobs again.
Yeah.
But Jude Law's German?
And Ed Harris is the bad guy and he just kind of looks
Ed Harris.
What a yeah. Bad and guy. He doesn't get, like, him doing well, no boobs that you see. Yeah. Maybe boobs that he sees, but not that you see. Yeah. Never
mind. He doesn't share with the audience.
Yeah. Very selfish of him.
So I've seen the movie and I didn't even remember the Rachel Weisz part. You haven't seen the movie. And...
Well, let me make sure that I'm not just making
why
that the, shit
why
up.
Why are we talking about this movie at all?
Well, Ron Perlman's in it. And he's a sniper teacher that gets domed.
So. Oh, hell yeah.
Role. I gotcha. Yeah.
I gotta do a correction. Okay. It has brief nudity. But apparently you only see your butt. So.
Man, that is... I can't believe you fucked that up, Lawrence.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you've never even seen the movie.
I gotta keep myself honest.
Yeah.
I mean, she's nude in a lot of other stuff, so it's not insane for me to think she might have been nude in that, but no, it's just a butt shot. Got Still it. Nice.
Well, any parting shots?
I mean, Ronald, you've seen Black Death more recently than I have. It's better than this, right?
Oh yeah, Black Death is a lot better than this.
Like
Black Death actually I feel like had something to say that was moderately interesting.
Yeah, Black Death makes the smart move of having this be full, making it kind of folk horror and actually foregrounding the, like, you're not sure, like, if there even is magic. Whereas this movie kind of wants you to think there might not be magic, but also has the chick have supernatural powers, like, literally the first time you meet her, so.
Yeah.
Which is right. Dumb.
And, like, yeah, there's a witch literally, or I guess a demon, in the first scene. So, you know, yeah. it's not like you go into the thing thinking like, well, demons might not be real. You're like, no, actually, I saw them. It is real. We saw it at the start. That wasn't a fake.
Yeah.
Hey, so the movie poster, I'm looking at it now. It has Cage holding a flaming sword.
And you can see Claire Foy's reflection in the sword. Yeah.
I don't remember any flaming sword.
Oh man, can you imagine if the movie poster had something that wasn't in the movie on it?
What the hell?
It's fucked up, man.
I feel ripped off. This January, raise some hell.
Wow. That's...
Terrible tagline.
That's not even what the movie's like. It doesn't even evoke the right feeling.
It only costs $40 million, which is impressive.
$40 million's a lot.
I mean... For not you. Back then it was. You know, this really made money then because it made $91.6 million, and the rule is generally double your box or your budget.
Yeah. $40 million is like a mid-level though. It's not like a low budget. I mean,
$40 million for an action movie now would be pretty low budget. But
well, that's because nothing below like $100 million gets released in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, $40 million, it's not a low budget film. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
All right. You guys want to move on to the game?
Let's do a fucking game. I'm tired. I'm okay. Real. One more thing I want to ask you guys.
All right.
A month from now, right?
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to remember a fucking thing about this movie.
I honestly don't even think I'll remember the name.
No, I'm not going to remember it. I only remember things that are like...
I barely remembered it, and I watched it like 2 days ago.
It has to be like epically bad or good for me to remember.
I feel like I usually remember stuff, but there are some movies that will just blank out in my mind. It's because nothing interesting happens. It's like watching a safety training video.
Yeah. And for my part, I'll just say again, read Between Two Fires. That thing is legit incredible. You're like, I want horror in the Middle Ages. I don't think anyone's ever done it better than that. Anyways, that's it. Okay, let's do the game.
All right. You guys ready for the game?
Hell yeah.
All right. It's called Speed Dating with Bad Time Radio.
Hell yeah.
I basically looked up some questions you can ask during speed dating, and I'm just going to ask you guys them. So maybe lucky listeners will fall in love with you.
Only Rahul is
shocked. All right. Okay, so Rahul, you're up first.
Okay.
If a movie was made about you, who do you think should play you? We were doing this the other day.
Yeah, we were. And I remember Ronald tried to dunk on me, and it backfired horribly.
I wasn't trying to dunk on you.
Oh, it was a massive attempt at a dunk, but it backfired so horribly, you're trying to revise it into saying that it wasn't a dunk now.
Yeah, Ronald does this quite frequently, where we will own him horribly, and then he will just try to pretend he doesn't even understand what we're talking about.
Like, yeah, speak English, and I'm like, well, dude.
I made him watch Tango and Cash, and he's like, I like that movie, and I'm like, haha, you're owned. And you're like, he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's no owned.
Yeah, man, you really got me on that one.
Yep, I sure did. There he goes again. He's trying to use sarcasm or whatever to pretend he wasn't playing.
Or that time that I was like, hey, Lawrence, can you recommend a movie for me to watch? And you recommended that movie.
Babette's Feast.
Yeah, Babette's Feast. And then I was like, thanks. Then I watched it. And then you were like, owned.
Yeah. And you liked it.
Made you watch a good movie.
I made you watch a classic of world cinema. I broadened your cultural horizons, bitch. Anyways, yeah. I got an answer, Rahul, if you don't, Rahul.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have an answer, all right?
Okay.
And it's Natalie Portman, because I would have clearly starred in Star Wars as an iconic character.
Why did you pick someone who started the prequel? You idiot.
No, wait, do you think you are playing Natalie Portman?
No, Natalie Portman's playing me.
Why would you have started in Star Wars then?
Shut up! You always do this!
I was like, Swan. Like, you're slightly confused by the premise of the question.
Do not clarify anything.
All right. You're right. I don't care.
Black Swan, kill it.
So you're just naming her filmography. Are they just movies you like?
Yeah.
Okay. They're movies that you identify with.
Yeah, absolutely. That one or guy.
Did you just pick like a random actor and then you're like, I'm going to name the top three movies that I can think of. And you're like, yeah, why not? Yeah,
no,
sure.
No, I'm all in on Natalie, all right?
I really identify with Black Swan, which I think was like a drug problem. Like, what's the message
it?
There?
I
think it's that if you get too into ballet, you'll turn into a swan, but you will also get to have sex with that one chick from that 70s show and Family Guy, so it might be worth it.
Wow. And you'll stab yourself with a piece of glass?
I mostly remember the sex scene from that. Yeah, I'm Lawrence. It's how it works.
But isn't it her alternate personality? So she's just basically masturbating.
I mean, there is also a scene of her masturbating.
There you go. Well, there's two scenes then. Think about that.
Mila Kunis.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All
right.
How about you, Lawrence?
Well, first off, I think that the guy who would play Rahul, is N.T. Rama Rao Jr. from the film RRR. Because he already looks a lot like Rahul, and they're similarly pretty jacked.
You gotta look this guy up.
What's his name? I'm sure he looks nothing like
N.T. Rama
Rao Jr.
Wait, Rama Raju?
N.T. Rama Rao Jr.
Oh, and oh, I see.
Oh, because there's a senior who looks nothing like you. Doesn't really look like Rahul, but
I don't the think noses are different. But I'm seeing some pictures of him like shirtless and pretty similar to how I imagine Rahul shirtless.
Okay, let me look up shirtless. NT.
Yeah, he's got a similar beard.
He's got
That's about as close as
I think that their body types are pretty similar. The hair, the face is different because the nose is different. I'll give you that. But
dude, this guy is so fucking jacked. I am nothing like this.
Yeah.
So why do you weightlift? You weightlift so much.
Yeah, but it hasn't taken me here.
Well, excuse me for trying to pay you a compliment by saying you look like a hot, shredded guy would play you in a movie. Okay, fine. You know
you're right.
I'm sorry.
I looked at Gift Horse a little too deeply in the mouth. You're right.
I think this guy would
nail it.
I think Rahul would be played by Jason Statham. he's similarly jacked. He has like the same accent pretty much.
And, we do have the accent would be the easiest part for Statham.
Yeah. And you know, I think they're about the same height.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
We have the same attitude too, you know.
You got a similar jawline. Yeah, similar take on life. You know?
You're
angry all the time.
And I think
masters of accents both.
Yeah. I think that Lawrence would be played by Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
But look at him, he kinda looks the same.
Yeah.
Take a look at a picture of Dolph Lundgren. He kinda looks like Lawrence. If Lawrence shaved and like, you know, showered every once in a while. Nope.
Well, then I don't look like it because I'd never do either of those.
That's the most unrealistic part about this.
All right, well, I guess Dolph Lundgren would have to, like, go not shower for a little bit to do the role.
Dolph Lundgren is too clean-shaven, too.
Well, yeah, he'd have to let it grow out, but I'm just saying the face looks similar.
Now, for Ronald, obviously the only way of doing this is a Who Framed Roger Rabbit thing where he's played by Steve from American Dad.
You're right, obviously. I do have an uncanny resemblance to the cartoon character Steve from American Dad.
I mean, he really does is the thing. Like, it sounds like we're making fun of it. It sounds like a joke,
but... Okay, literally, I was talking to a friend in grad school, and he was talking to another guy. He told me this story. He's talking to another guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I did this project with Ronald. And they were like, I don't know Ronald. Do I know Ronald? And he was like, he's the guy that looks like Steve from American Dad. He's like, oh, fuck yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
This is a class of like 50 people. So like, there's one guy in the fucking, and we all kind of are, you know, nerdy guys with glasses. So there's a real resemblance. Let me put it that way.
There's only one that really nails it.
Yeah.
Rahul, who do you think is going to play Ronald in the movie?
Amber Heard.
Hell yeah.
Oh, dude. Fuck yeah. I'm nothing wrong with that.
I only really know who she is from the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Well, and her behavior is
very it's pretty similar. I did cut off your finger. Whatever happened. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I refuse to learn any.
I remember that.
Boop's funny.
Yeah. Oh, she's enacting a classic bit from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. Fucking sewer.
Throw her in jail. God.
Yeah, I refuse to learn anything about that case because it seemed like the worst people on the internet were super invested in Johnny Depp being innocent. And I'm just like, I don't want to deal with
this. Isn't he also like pretty bad in that? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, whatever. Let's move on to the next question.
Okay,
hopefully they'll both be fine. Although I'm obviously on Amber Heard's side because she's super hot and did nudity.
she is very attractive.
She's unbelievably attractive.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here's another question. If your friends were to compare you to an animal or say you are an animal, what animal would it be?
I mean, we have canonical answers to this, and it's always the T-virus.
That's true, yeah. I think that's at least my answer for both of you.
I mean, I would probably compare Ronald to a locust or
something a plague.
Yeah.
Sent down by God to punish humanity.
Yeah.
I thought it had to be an animal.
I mean, a locust is an animal.
Yeah. Okay, but T-virus is not.
Well, I mean, it's so many things.
Yeah, it's always kind of ambiguous what a virus is, you know? And
is it even alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not ambiguous that a virus is not an animal.
But it is ambiguous when it comes to the T-virus, all right? Fine, you're a T-virus reanimated something.
You're Pyramid Head from Resident Evil 4 and 5.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, you've got a lot of stakes going through your head.
I am?
Is he Everyone kind of is.
Yeah. You're one of this goddamn forsaken planet.
You're just all fucking bagheads, and you don't even have the sweet hammer thing.
Okay, you're right. We already had this one, so let's move on to another question. Okay, here's a good one. An alien comes down to Earth and says, unless you can beat him in a competition, he'll destroy Earth. What skill do you choose to have the best chance?
I mean, my immediate and probably puerile answer is a masturbation contest.
But you would definitely lose now, maybe when you were like 13.
Well, the truth there is that it's very unlikely that the alien's even going to have genitals as we understand them. So it's like, if I challenge him to a contest of like, how, you know, making the most cum out of your dick in an hour using only your hand, I'm going to win even if I can just do it once because...
See, this could backfire though, because then he'll say, okay, I can make you cum more times than you can make you cum. And you're weirdly attracted to aliens.
I mean, depends on the alien, but yeah.
Well, I guess it's not that weird, but you are very attracted to aliens. Think about that.
Yeah, without exception, this has proven to be true, Lawrence.
I mean, I feel like if the alien...
Probably as soon as the alien even touched you, you would just start blasting.
Yeah. So I started blasting.
So I guess the world dies. Sorry, Lawrence. All right.
Yeah, okay. Rahul, how are you going to save...
How do I Earth save the 2? World in a competition against an alien?
You get to pick the competition, but
I gotta pick
you have to beat him in something.
Okay. Wow.
Maybe like freaking kettlebells?
Yeah, kettlebells. Whoever can eat the most kettlebell.
I don't think you would do that well.
Wait a minute. Are we trying to win?
Yeah. We're trying to hold the Earth, bro.
What if it's one of those like super jacked aliens, though, like the Predator or the Alien or most aliens? That, I mean, a Vulcan or Klingon or Romulan.
Yeah. But it could be like a nerdy little puny alien, too.
Yeah, it could be like that green blob. In fucking... Remember, what's that Star Trek show with Seth?
Oh, the Orville?
Yeah, the Orville. Like the green blob guy.
Yes. Could be. Norm MacDonald's character. Well, also think about like, you know, in Independence Day, when Will Smith like just punched one of the aliens out. It's because, you know, aliens don't know how to fucking deal with fucking boxing.
Yeah, true. Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to bet on the green blob thing. I'm going to say who can eat the most salt. Jesus. Yeah, all in on this.
That's like even if you win, you lose because you ate a shit ton of salt and you're going to die.
Yeah, but I saved humanity.
You're also not very good at eating.
Oh, God.
It's like one of your worst skills. Fuck.
Yeah, classic hubris. Well, you know, humanity deserves to die. Because, you know, if I can't eat the salt, you know, I'm a member of humanity, and it's better that we all just go.
Imagine he's like a Q, where he like looks like a human.
A Q?
Yeah.
Like from Star Trek, you know, where they're like just God, but annoying. It's like, what if annoying was God?
What if God was annoying, or if annoying was God? Huh? He just is a guy. He can do anything, you know? But, like, he would probably respect the competition.
Yeah. Well, then I would do a race. Whoever has the fastest around the world time. And then while...
It has a spaceship, you fucking idiot.
While he's... you have to run. You have to run.
Never let fucking Raul pick. If an alien comes and is going to destroy... He comes up with literally the worst ideas.
Whoever could run around the world the fastest, and then while he's disembarked from his spaceship, I'm going to sneak onto it and then fly away. Therefore, I've saved the human species.
It sounds like you've doomed them all. You just got away.
No, I'm a human.
You can't reproduce, though.
Well, you know, I saved it for like 20 years. However, how long I have left, you know, kept it going.
Yeah, all right. Well, you probably would die instantly because...
Because I can't operate a spaceship.
Yeah, and also the spaceship isn't like set up for your unique biology.
Yeah, true. But it's better to try, don't you think? I'm trying to save the world.
You know what? Let's move on to the next question.
Yeah.
I feel like this one's really throwing Raul for a loop.
That's a hard one, dude, because I have nothing, you know? I have nothing.
All right. Okay, this is just a more personal taste one. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be? The location and, like, also what kind of living situation, i.e. the house, apartment, etc. Lawrence?
I mean, I really like my current house, but if I could get one of those ones where it's like you open a door in the backyard or like a gate in the backyard and you're just in the bosque, that would be pretty cool. That's about it, though, honestly. I really like it where I am, honestly, and I can't really think of, aside from being slightly closer to the bosque, what else I'd really want to change.
What about,
I could see you living out in nature.
Yeah.
But he would be close to a city, right? Because he has a child.
Yeah, that's why the bosque is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. If I had I was up in Angel Fire a long time ago, and that would be nice. Like, having, like, a cabin up there when I'm older, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I don't need to be in town all the time for Quint, just going for a walk in the woods all the time. But... I mean, I'm pretty near ideal with that in the bosque, honestly. I guess it's nice that I'm... Yeah, again.
Huh.
It's nice that I'm so close to
that. That is an interesting answer, though, that you wouldn't even want to go anywhere else.
I love Albuquerque, man. The food's great. I like my house a lot. I've got enough space. Yeah, I don't know. What about you, Raul?
Okay, Raul, you go first.
Okay. I think I'd choose fucking Mars. Yeah, you know, Elon Musk it up. Fucking blow up Earth. Because, you know, fucking Raul is going to get his all killed by an alien.
So. I won the battle. How do you not see that?
You stole his car and ran away.
You didn't circumnavigate the Earth, and you even said in part of the rules that you couldn't use the spaceship so that he would get out.
Maybe. Yeah, but he can't get back in his spaceship.
I guess the only hope is that the alien somehow doesn't know what liquid water is, so he just drowns.
I guess maybe without the spaceship, he couldn't destroy Earth. Maybe that's what Raul's thinking.
Yeah, that's also a good thought.
I mean, the fact that we're coming up with better reasons than Raul did.
Look, yeah, I just wanted to create Grand Theft Spaceship. All right, yeah. That's a big deal.
But if I'm answering, I guess, a little bit more earnestly, I think I would go somewhere, like, tropical-ish. Like, I really like warm weather and, like, humidity and maybe near a beach. But I'm also afraid of hurricanes, so does that exist? The same place exists with all these
things? I don't think Hawaii gets hit by hurricanes.
Yes, it does.
Oh,
well. You even say...
I'm sorry, Ronald. I just said death by hurricane.
You just killed me. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Is it really?
That's yes.
Crazy. Huh? You sure? Yes,
they had to shut down filming on Jurassic Park for a while because there was a hurricane. That's how I know that.
No, that was because the dinosaurs got out. Oh my God.
So I think what we're learning the is that Raul... got
out. And then they were like, let's just film it. This would be the great plot of the movie. Let's ditch that whole thing where all the dinosaurs are locked up the whole time. All right, Robo, it's your turn.
I would buy the Bosque and put what? Like a and put like a skyscraper on top of it.
It's not the question. That's not at all answering the question. I didn't say if you had unlimited resources to do it. Like, you know,
yo, fuck this skyscraper.
I would drop a fireball in the Bosque and salt the earth.
I would just nuke all of New Mexico. Now, what was the question again?
Oh, man. Oh, well, you know, my real answer, though, is I would live somewhere cooler than Albuquerque, but, like, pretty similar. That's what I would do.
Yeah, like what's cooler than Albuquerque?
I don't know.
Denver.
Albuquerque's got... Yeah, Denver's good.
Denver's cold.
So Denver is Albuquerque.
Albuquerque's not cold, bro.
Denver's colder than Albuquerque, isn't it?
A lot colder. And they get a lot of snow.
I do like snow.
You like snow?
Well, maybe in my...
Do you like snow because you're in Albuquerque? And you
I think so.
Snow?
I think that's the... I think because I never see it that I think I like it, but I don't actually like it.
Because in a place where there's snow, it's just there all the fucking time. You know, it never melts.
Yeah.
And it's just... The roads suck. Constantly getting salt all over your car, and you have to, like, worry about it, like, fucking rusting all your shit.
Oh, you know, actually, the climate in San Francisco is perfect.
Yeah. San Francisco is a nice climate, but then you have to deal with San Francisco.
Yeah. So basically, you have to be independently wealthy and live in San Fran.
This question opens up for whatever kind of living situation you want.
What if you, like, lived on a houseboat in San Francisco Harbor?
Like, to get around some law? Or,
I mean, just like, just what if you did that?
That's like, what nice? Is, man? Just asking a hypothetical question.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the houseboat life is for me, personally.
Mm.
I'm not down with the ocean. I don't trust it.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you might go to sleep one day, and like the next day you wake up and you've been washed out to sea.
I think that will probably happen.
Yeah.
Probably
you're like, God damn it, I keep forgetting to tie the boat up.
I do not want to have to think of that kind of stuff, you know? Like,
you probably wouldn't, because you would never take your boat out. You would just leave it tied up.
Just let it fucking rot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to like take it out of the ocean for it to not rot.
Well, whatever. I'm just using San Fran.
And
nice
doesn't.
Place in San Fran, probably costs $200,000 a year just to live there. That's my choice.
All right. Nice. San Francisco. Cool. Well, that's all the questions I have for you today, boys, on speed dating with BTR.
Okay, so
found out, like, which one of us you want to date, like, go ahead and mail us at the mailbag. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever used it.
I mean, honestly, I'm not even sure I'm set up to check it anymore.
Dude, we're probably brimming with fan mail.
Let me check.
What is it? It's like
radiobadtime@gmail.com.
Radiobadtime@gmail.com.
And the last
yeah.
The last email is from November 21st, and it's from Ronald, and it's him sharing his Resident Evil thoughts with me.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, it's just the
notification.
Google Drive.
Yeah. Okay. I got a login from X and a notification of me deleting my Twitter account. Yep. And it looks like we've only gotten like 20 emails of the entire course of this account existing.
Weird.
Yeah.
Something happens.
Better not to think about it, honestly, or we might get depressed.
I just sent you something. Your bad time.
Hello.
Well, I mean, to be fair though.
Holy shit. Oh man, our mailbox is getting deluged. We've got one from a Mrs. R. Shaw who says, "You guys are so sexy. I will date you all."
Why is it happy?
And also, what accent was it? A lot of fun questions.
Know. Not a.
And then we've got one from a Rahul V, which says, "Dear sir or madam, please send to 1,000 to PayPal. Thank you." And Google helpfully offers me three canned responses to this of paid, I just sent the money, and okay, I will.
That's Gemini for you.
Gemini Ultra.
It offers no responses to "I will date you all," though.
To be fair, we never plug the Gmail anymore.
It's at the end of every fucking episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we used to do like a mailbag segment.
Where we would just make up the questions.
Yeah.
You made those up? Are you kidding me?
No one emailed us about it before the show even existed.
Dude.
I can't believe you would do that.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I guess if you are listening to this, maybe send us anything to radiobadtime@gmail.com and it isn't just a string of like racial slurs or pornography or whatever, we'll read it and talk about it on air. There.
I actually like the actually, you know,
people, chosen. I think we might talk about it more if it was just a race of slurs.
I would rate the slurs. Be like, derivative, unimaginative, yeah. Heard that one a million times. F minus.
Said that one a million times. Yeah, I think it's time to move on to recommendations and caution.
Yeah, fuck it. Okay, Ronald, you recommending caution.
All right. I have a recommendation, I have a caution this week. My caution, it's a light caution. I had an okay time with this movie, but it's called Safe House from 2012, directed by Daniel Espinosa, stars Ryan Reynolds and Denzel Washington. This is kind of like this is pre-Deadpool Ryan Reynolds, and this is like the type of movie that he was in. This is like pretty much the exact style of movie that Ryan Reynolds was known for before Deadpool came out, where he's just kind of like a generic action movie guy. The premise of this movie is that he's like in the CIA and he runs a safe house, but he's like kind of a low level guy and he really wants to like get a better mission. The safe house never has anyone, so he just kind of sits around all the time and doesn't do anything. And then this guy, Denzel Washington, is this super spy who like betrayed the US government, had to turn himself in when he was being chased by, I don't know, some generic foreign guys. He turns himself into the CIA for protection and they take him to this safe house to like torture him and things go badly. And Ryan Reynolds has to like get him out, but also like he can't trust Denzel Washington. It's this whole thing. There's some interesting stuff to this movie. I do like how the dynamic between Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds of like this experienced badass, like kind of betrayal or traitor to the US government who Denzel Washington plays versus like the green Ryan Reynolds, who's like new at the job, still has kind of idealistic, and how they play off of each other for a while. I do like this. This movie was just felt a little bit generic. The action in it isn't particularly good. None of the characters besides the main two were very interesting. And there's like a really obvious twist that happens. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but if that sounds interesting to you, I still had a good time with it. This made me fond of the days before COVID when like these kinds of movies would be coming out in droves. Like I miss going to the movie theaters and having like such a huge selection of movies and of different genres. And that's what this movie made me think of, because I think I actually saw this movie back in theaters when it came out. So anyways, for me, it was a nice nostalgia trip. I had a good time with it, but it wasn't a great movie. My recommendation for this week is a game called Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, created by Fair Play Labs. It's a video game. It's a platform fighter similar to like the Smash games, but it's with a lot of the Nickelodeon characters like SpongeBob and Aang from Avatar. And I don't know who else is in it. The Angry Beavers, which is kind of funny. It's a very fun idea. There's a lot of fun characters. The gameplay is really good. I'm having a really great time. It has great online play. I've been playing it quite a bit. If that sounds like something interesting to you, I highly recommend checking out Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2. And that's it for me.
Rahul, do you got something?
I actually have two things, which is
incredible,
crazy. Yeah. No cautions. So I've been watching Band of Brothers, and it's pretty good. I haven't finished it, but yeah, it's been good. It's hard to stay in a World War II mood for that long, you know? I feel like it's a little stressful, but it's quite good. And this is weird and kind of cliched, but and I'm not really a big video gamer, but the GTA 6 trailer. Now, first of all, you should know that I love trailers in general. But the GTA 6 trailer, I think, is so good. It just, like, fills me with this feeling of, like, this, like, Miami glamorous life of crime and nightlife.
Sounds like you should have said Miami for your live anywhere in the world.
Maybe. Maybe. I didn't even think about that.
Maybe you should have said you wanted to live in Los Santos or whatever the fuck.
Vice City, I'm pretty sure.
Vice City. I mean, I don't know anything about the GTAs. Don't really play games. Probably not play this, but the...
You might buy it and never play it. I said you might buy it.
I might buy it and never play it. That's probably going to happen. or more realistic, I'll log in once for like 20 minutes and being like, whatever.
Play online.
Game I saw, I conquered, I'm done.
Play online.
Time to play more Dota.
Let's get back to Boss of the Gym.
Now, that is a game that I wish got turned into a franchise.
Yeah.
But we'll set aside what could have been and talk about. It's just like so good. They like put all this like, oh man, it's just great. Just a great fucking trailer. Whoever put that trailer together fucking nailed it. I'm just like, I keep watching it. I'm like trying to understand what I like so much about it. Anyway, yeah. You know, if you have a thought on that, send it to the mailbag.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it.
And include some racial slurs for me.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. And for me, I've actually been like, and consuming a lot of shit I liked recently, which has been great. So I got two recommendations and one caution, although the caution's kind of light. So first
off,
like
Season of the Witch?
No. But I fell asleep during it, so it was fine. That's the great thing about being a new dad. When you don't like something, it's pretty optional. You can just pass the fuck out and move on. Anyways, first off, I saw Godzilla Minus One in theaters, directed... 2023, directed by Takeshi Yamazaki. Incredible, incredible stuff. One of the best Godzilla movies ever. The City Rampage. Mwah! Just beautiful. Probably one of the best. I'm trying to think on like how it ranks on the serious Godzilla movies. I'm not sure whether I like it or Godzilla 2014 better, but that's like the only competition. I'm actually of the really weird opinion that the original Godzilla movie isn't very good, because although the city destruction scene is astonishing, a lot of it is just them shouting at Dr. Sarazawa, you should use the oxygen destroyer, and Dr. Sarazawa saying no, until eventually he's like, fine, and then uses it, which is boring. But this is a really good movie. So go see Godzilla Minus One. And then I read a book, well, a novella I liked called Ogres by Adrian Tykovsky. You may remember Adrian Tykovsky from Ronald. I was going to do a bit, but Ronald recommended Children of Time by him. and this takes, it's like set and it centers on a young man named Torkel. And he's living in what seems like kind of a semi idyllic, like English peasant village. You know, they rent land from a landlord, but the twist is that their landlord is an ogre. So he's like 8-10 feet tall, super super strong, and you know, monstrous appetites and all this stuff. Hilarious. And then Torkel gets into an argument and has a violent confrontation with an ogre and has to go on the run, And in doing so, he ends up discovering what's really going on in his world. And it's a novel that starts as like, you think it's going to be kind of a light satire. And then as the world building keeps going and you realize exactly what's happening, it gets angrier and angrier and angrier until it ends with like, just like this endless fury about the state of the world. And it also, I mean, it's got a lot of twists because the whole thing is him like figuring out what's really happening in the world. So there's a bunch of like, oh, you know, you thought it was in the past and it's not, whatever, that kind of thing. But eventually the final twist is of a kind that I have never seen before. Like, it really blew my mind. I've consumed a lot of media with twists, and this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this done. And I'm like, wow. And then the caution, I just finished this earlier today. It's a novella called The Scourge Between the Stars, where there's a, it's by Ness Brown, and it just came out this year. And basically there was Earth was dying, so they sent out like an interstellar spaceship to try to colonize another planet. The colony failed, and not knowing what else to do, they started heading home. And the conditions on the ship are deteriorating rapidly. There's like mutinies, and they keep getting attacked by some alien force that they can't even perceive. And then into all of this, like something gets on the ship that's like malevolent. And it seems like it's going to go in a much weirder direction. And there's this like repeated phrase of "don't open the door" that's like pretty creepy. And it seems like it's hinting towards like this like cosmic horror or something. And then it just turns into an alien riff. And it's an okay alien riff, but it's not like the monsters are never described. So you like legitimately could just be like, yeah, that's just a xenomorph, you know? And it's just, I mean, I've seen it done better elsewhere, and I really wanted it to like live up to the promise of its early chapters. I'd read something else Ness Brown worked because, one, they're a New Mexican, which rules, but two, you know, I think there's potential here, but as it stands, I just don't think it's that good. Anyways, and that's it. Yeah, I guess. And Rahul, do you have a plug?
Yeah, I'd like to plug this video of a little kitten.
Oh god,
doing that little thing with its paws, super cute. In the chat.
Okay, it's of a lion, but I mean, considering the kind of shit Rahul has posted, a lion doing that like making biscuits thing is very wholesome.
Isn't it so cute?
It's not like it's a woman's teeth falling out or
those were her gums, dude.
Whatever. Better. You always correct them, but it's like, that's worse.
Or that one thing where it was like a woman dressed up as a reindeer, and it was either a Super Bowl halftime show or weird porn, and we never really got a good answer.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah. You don't even remember the one who linked
a woman dressed up as a reindeer during a Super Bowl.
It was multiple women, I think.
What are we talking about?
It was like the first Super Bowl halftime show like you claimed.
Ancient... Yeah. Oh, that wasn't gross.
Don't say it was gross, but it might have been porn.
Or the penis pants.
What?
You know, I'm scrolling up through our chat, and it is just astonishing all the shit. I just got up to that news story about the poop.
That's a classic one. That is a classic one.
Yeah.
And also, anyways, I really like the picture that you posted of the weird fucking, I don't even know what the fuck this is. It's like heads, but it's from the post of the pants, the skin pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the
penis snakes or whatever the fuck.
The necro pants, right?
Yeah, it was an article about necro pants, but then somebody posted a picture of, what are they called, Florence? It's like penis snakes?
They look like penis snakes if they had a name.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyways, I guess from all of us at Bad Time Radio, go look up like tiger kneading, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And night, everybody.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
What's gonna get?